Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening. This is Carlotta Walsman, and I'd like to welcome you to more Crosswalk Talk Radio. Crosswalk Talk is a production of Crosswalk Life, and we'd like to point you to our websites at crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv for starters. Also, there's the archives here at Blog Talk Radio. This is your opportunity to not only hear what God's doing in the earth today, but also to hear demonstrations of live personal prophetic ministry, to hear teaching about pertinent issues like tonight, what is the flesh and how do we crucify it and how do we bring it to death and win and live this life free from the law of sin and death like Romans 6 promises. I'm going to be introducing Pastor Rocky Poole, a friend that I made on Facebook. I have had wonderful experiences on Facebook. Of course, you can control who your friends are. And I've just had been so blessed because I've got over 2,000 friends who seem to be dedicated to encouraging the body of Christ. And wow, what a morning it is every morning to wake up to all that encouragement. But we also, as you know, if you know me, I'm not only a prophet and an author and seminar leader, but I'm a counselor and I like to deal with real issues. I'm not one that says just forget it all and pretend it never happened to go on. I'm like, how do we deal with it and really get past it? Or if it's a current fleshly bondage like we're going to be talking about tonight, patterns that are sinful and yet it seems like you're helpless to do anything about it, or other things that maybe aren't strong patterns but indulgences, whatever it is, I'm not going to steal Rocky's thunder here. I'm going to let him explain that. We want to talk about the real stuff. You know, why is there so much obvious flesh in the body of Christ? Why? And what do we do about it? What is our part? What's their part? And it's going to be a lot to touch on in 30 minutes. But after we have a little discussion about it, then we'd like to offer personal prophetic ministry to callers. And again, what we're trying to do now, because we've had so many callers, if you'll just listen up now for a minute, I'm going to invite you to call in, but I want those of you that are first-time callers to push that number one so that it'll put you in the queue, and I know we want to call on you first. But if you have called before, and I've got a pretty good memory, please don't push on number one, or if you already have, just push it again. That'll be fine, and it will take you off the queue for the first hour because we want, usually we have like a whole hour of first-time callers. Thank you. I see people respond, and I so appreciate your cooperation because we want those that have not received a prophetic word on this program to have a chance. Amen. Everybody needs to know that God really hears them. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to welcome Pastor Rocky Poole from Texas, who has been a pastor, and then he's had some real life experiences that help him define not only what the flesh is, but what, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as in prison to it, pardoned, or just on parole? Welcome to the program, Rocky.
Thank you. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you once again for allowing me to be a part of this.
Glad to have you.
Wanted to just briefly explain why we titled this Paroled or Pardoned. When an individual is paroled, they're still under very strict guidelines. They are trying continuously to do the right things, having to answer to someone, making sure everything. They're at their appointments, doing everything just right. But if you've been pardoned, then you're under no restrictions, no guidelines. There's no appointment that you have to make. And you don't have to worry about missing something and being returned to the bondage. So there's a big difference between being paroled and pardoned. But there's also an authority that makes that decision, whether you are paroled or pardoned. And in tonight's teaching, I would like for us to think of and look at the Holy Spirit as the authority that determines whether we're paroled or pardoned. And so, having said that, I want to go over, we'll start first, works of the flesh, just to make sure everyone is aware of these. to see if you have any of these actives in your life, and then we'll talk about a little more at the end of the discussion how to deal with these things. But adultery is, of course, sexual relations of a married person with someone other than his or her spouse. And if you would like to, taking notes tonight, you can jot down these scripture references, Exodus 20:14, Deuteronomy 5:18, and Matthew 5:31-32. Our second work of the flesh is fornication. That's immoral sexual conduct and intercourse. It includes taking pleasure in pornographic pictures, films, or writing. Scripture references on that one is Matthew 5:32 and 19:9. Also, Acts 15:20-29, Acts 21:25, and 1 Corinthians 5:1. Now, Carlotta, did you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
I just wanted to say about fornication, Pastor Rocky, that I had to quit being shocked over Christians telling me they didn't know fornication was wrong. And one Christian told me that their pastor, who's fairly famous, had told them he'd rather them be in fornication than wind up marrying and getting a divorce. And other Christians have told me that they didn't know what fornication was. So if anybody's out there thinking we don't need to list and define what the works of the flesh are, I'm sorry, but we do. Because a lot of pastors have quit preaching against sin in the first place, much less defining it. And a lot of Christians, you know, if we were given a test and these 17 things that Rocky's going to mention, I bet you couldn't define them. So he's going to help us.
Amen. The next is uncleanness. And uncleanness is listed as sexual sins, evil deeds, and vices, including thoughts and desires of the heart. And you can look at the references, Ephesians 5:3 and Colossians 3:5 concerning uncleanness. And then we have number four, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is sensuality, following your senses, your following one's passions and desires to the point of not having any shame or public decency. And, of course, we see that very rampant this day and hour. Just no shame, no public decency, not to get into a lot of it, but it's just sensual, whatever appeals to the senses. And a scripture reference for that is 2 Corinthians 12:21. Also, idolatry. And there are so many things that we do today that could be classified as idolatry that the majority of the people don't really even recognize or consider as idolatry. But worship of spirits is idolatry. Worship of persons or graven images. Also, when you put trust in any person, institution, or thing as having equal or greater authority than God in His Word, and not to get in a big debate over organizations and things tonight, but any time you are part of an organization and they make you take an oath that's in secrecy, there's something wrong with it. God doesn't do anything in secret. Everything that Jesus does is right out in the broad open daylight. He hides nothing. And so we really need to stop occasionally and check. Scripture actually tells us to examine ourselves, see if we're even up to faith. And so idolatry is definitely something that we can come into bondage to. And then number six is witchcraft. And most of the time when we think of witchcraft, we see a witch on a broom, or those that may be a little more mature in the body of Christ understand that there are actually human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, things of that nature. But witchcraft actually includes sorcery, spiritism, black magic, worship of demons, and the use of drugs to produce spiritual experiences. Now, witchcraft could also include, I'll just share this briefly, I didn't understand all about psychics and things of that nature when I was born again, and I actually went to a psychic, and she tried to read my palm, she tried to read tarot cards, do a number of things, and she was not able to do anything or pick up anything on me. And she finally stopped and she said, "Well, have you been praying or something?" And I said, "Well, yes, I just got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit." And she said to me, "Well, no wonder, we can't cut the blood." And so God's grace was looking out for me during that time. But if we yield ourselves to these spirits,
all right,
we will come into bondage to them once again. And so that's something very important. Did you have anything to elaborate on witchcraft, Carlotta?
I sure do, because I probably should post an article on this, Rocky. You're really prompting me here. The Bible has a lot to say about not only repenting of having even the briefest contact with these folks and opening the door to that, but not keep the objects. I encourage people not to even read their little fortune at the Chinese restaurant. Anything that is acquiring information from another source besides the Holy Spirit, repent of it, don't do it, and get rid of any objects in your house or possession that are from it.
And yeah, good point. So witchcraft, and scripture references for witchcraft is Exodus 7, 11 and 22, Exodus 8 and 18, Revelation 9, 21, and Revelation 18, 23. Number 7 on the list is hatred. Of course, hatred is intense, hostile intentions and acts. It's an extreme dislike or enmity. And we know that the Bible tells us that from the fall there is enmity between the soul and the spirit. Our soul hates the things of the spirit and wars against the things of the spirit. So hatred is something that we need to take a look at in our lives and see, do we have an intense, hostile intention or extreme dislike toward somebody or something? Number 8 on the list is variance. Variance is quarreling, antagonism, a struggle for superiority. And as bad as I hate to say it, we see this a lot in the body of Christ. Churches trying to lay claim to their sheep and worrying that somebody's going to steal one of their sheep.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like each pastor has come to a place to where they're trying to build their own kingdom.
Right.
And that is a that's a no-no. You have to bow low in order to go high in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so striving to reach the top, you'll end up on the bottom every time. But for variant, scripture references Romans 1:29, 1 Corinthians 1:11, and 1 Corinthians 3:3. And Carlotta, if you have something that you want to input on any of these, just stop me before I move to the next one.
Well, I would say that on those two, it's like there's a stronghold of bitterness that builds, and I think that most people don't know that they have it. I know I didn't, because it just starts off with saying, "I'll forgive them tomorrow." Then you allow some resentment and enjoy in that, you know, and then some anger, but it's anger with sin, and then some wrath, because when they tick you off again, there's some wrath. And before you know it, you've got a stronghold of hatred, but most people don't know it because they perceive themselves as a good person. But God says, you know, he has different definitions of what hatred is. And a lot of times we do have very hostile thoughts and feelings, and we need to really, really repent of these things.
Exactly. And we'll talk about just a little more at the end how to deal with some of these. But as far as things like this, it is so vital that immediately when you see something like this, stop and get your heart right with God.
Amen.
because there are so many broken relationships in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody will just casually say, "I'm sorry," and move right on. And there's never been really any connection in the spirit. There's nothing really been released. And they just continue on. And the garbage is just dragging behind them.
Or we give ourselves permission to wait until they say they're sorry. But the Bible doesn't say wait for them to get right with God. It says for us to get right with God.
Exactly. Number 9 is emulations. That means resentfulness, envy of another's success. And that's similar to what I was just speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture references for emulations is Romans 13:13 and 1 Corinthians 3:3. So when you see somebody else that's maybe got something that you feel like they don't deserve and you have resentfulness for them, toward them, it's vital that you quickly recognize that. And the way that you uproot these things is just to quickly repent. Quickly go to God and say, "Oh God, I just saw this in myself. I don't want it there. I repent. I refuse to walk in this," and deal with it quickly.
Amen.
Number 10 is wrath. And wrath is explosive anger. I know you've never seen anybody like this in traffic, but that seems to be where they manifest quite often. I knew one individual, and I hated to go anywhere with him. He would scream and holler and hang out the window and just literally go in a rage at individuals because they turned in front of him or whatever. And all of that is from deeper-rooted things, which we're not going to get into all that tonight. But anyway, wrath is that explosive anger. Maybe you see yourself bursting out in anger like that at times, or rage, which flares into violent words and deeds. Of course, Colossians 3:8 is a scripture reference for that. So as we're going over these things tonight, it's important for you. You'll just have a tug in your spirit if there's something there. Maybe just mark it down and say, "Yeah, that's in me." And then when we talk about it at the end of the broadcast, we'll get you a little information how to deal with some of these things. Number 11 is strife, selfish ambition, and seeking of power. 2 Corinthians 12:20 is our scripture reference there, and also Philippians 1:16 and 17. Selfish ambition, wanting, and there's so many in the body of Christ that are, even the ministry has become a selfish ambition for them.
Amen.
It's not about the prompting of the Spirit. It's not about the nudging of the Holy Ghost. It's not about extending the kingdom of God. It's not about the lost souls. It's about an issue within them. They want to do this thing. And so selfish ambition and seeking of power is strife. Number 12 is seditions, introducing divisive teachings not supported by the Word of God. I posted recently, one of my Facebook friends mentioned that there are people that come up with these little sayings that are not even biblical. And I posted and said, "Yeah, you can find that in 2 Hesitations 2:7 or something like that." It was just an inside joke that we say these things so many times, and it's really just a word phantom. It's not anything that's biblical whatsoever. And so the scripture actually tells us that the New Testament saints took what the Apostle Paul and those teachers among them taught, and they searched the scriptures to mm-hmm. see if there was any basis for it.
Amen.
So we really need to do that to make sure that there's not any divisive teachings that are only for the benefit of the teacher. We see this so many times. I'm not against biblical economics, biblical prosperity, but I am against making that our priority and our focus. when the Bible says love is the greatest key. Love is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get our priorities right in these things. So anyway,
if I wrote this list, I would add greed to it, because it is just too obvious, and it sickens a lot of non-Christians. You know, when some, and I'm not saying most, but when some ministry leaders can't talk 10 minutes without taking an offering or selling something, and it's just gotten to the point where the greed is just taken over. It's just amazing.
Exactly. And then heresies. That's divisions within the congregation into selfish groups or cliques, which destroy the unity of the church. Let me back up on seditions. Romans 16:17 is a scripture reference for seditions. And then 13 is heresies. Divisions within the congregation into selfish groups or cliques. We see this many times. Maybe there's a group of people that have been in the church much longer, or maybe there's a particular movement that some of them are favored and the rest don't. And we have to, as members of the body of Christ, we have to be quick to address these issues and not allow them to have place in the congregation. There is a term that we use quite often as far as divisions in the body. I know there's a pastor that taught out of Psalms 1 where the Bible tells you that you're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Those that sit and they scorn, they begin to talk about things, and it will leave a wedge. If you get up and you say, well, I didn't like what pastor was teaching on today because of this, that thing can become a wedge. They begin to take up your offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how divisions in the body of Christ come about. A lot of times
the Jezebel spirit isn't saying any more than that either. You know, just kind of undermining what the leadership said. You know, let's pray for them that they'll get the clear revelation on that, or just something to undermine it.
Exactly. So that's heresies. 1 Corinthians 11:19 is a scripture reference. And then number 14 is envyings. That's the resentful dislike of another person who has something that one desires. And you can get a concordance and break some of these things down and get a little better understanding of them, but we're just kind of going through them quickly tonight to give you an idea of what the works of the flesh are. So when you have a resentful dislike of another person who has something that you desire, that's a work of the flesh in your life that needs to be dealt with.
Amen. It's huge because Jesus was killed, Abel was killed because of jealousy, and that's similar. You know, these aren't just an emotion that is optional. These are killers.
Right. And then we have murderers, number 15. And that's the killing of a person unlawfully and with malice. And normally, those in the body of Christ would not think of killing anyone. But we know that Jesus said, even if you have hatred in your heart towards someone,
mm-hmm.
then you're a murderer. And so we have to take these things seriously and don't just say, well, Jesus was just using a wordplay. No, he meant exactly what he said. And so when we allow bitterness to take root in our lives, and a lot of times bitterness comes in through us being rejected for some reason, someone did something, we're rejected. Now bitterness has the opportunity to take root. And if we're not careful, we'll be just like Cain,
mm-hmm.
who had the opportunity to deal with that thing, but he refused to and yielded to it and took his brother's life. Number 16 is drunkenness. Drunkenness is impairing one's mental or physical control by alcoholic drink. And I don't think anybody has any confusion about that. I say many times Just because you go and cook something in the stove doesn't mean you're a cook. Just because you've drank something doesn't mean you're a drunk. But when you practice something on a continual basis, that's what causes you to become that thing. So I personally do not drink at all, but there are people in the body of Christ that do drink. And if that's what they choose to do, it's just important that they follow the guidelines and not become intoxicated. Because number one, you're setting a stumbling block for others that maybe have a stronghold in their life.
Right.
Maybe it's a new believer that comes along and they were bound up by alcohol, and you begin to drink in front of them, and they think, well, so-and-so can drink, so I can too. And then they go right back into their bondage, and then they're gone from the church and backslidden. And so you really need to seek God about those things. And did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
Well, Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think what God is saying is that we're filled with something, but it's the Holy Spirit. So it's not so much don't do, you know, we're not trying to major on all the don'ts as much as we're saying when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't want any of these things. But we're not having a program that doesn't apply to anybody, because I've been around long enough to know that probably everybody listening has had to deal with strife, has had idolatry in their life where somebody or something, or like you said, maybe an organization became more important to them than what the Holy Spirit's saying. They've had, you know, envy and jealousy and hatred. And so that's like a third of these probably people could still have issues with if somebody pushed their button.
Exactly, exactly. And so what you said there about the Spirit is really, if you need something to relax you, if you need something to give you a good night's rest, the Holy Spirit is more than willing to intoxicate you, to sedate you, if you'll just look to Him. But it takes practice. Just like it takes practice for someone who drinks to become a drunk, it takes practice getting in the presence of God to where He can sedate you, He can flood you with joy, or whatever the need may be. And so I drank before I came to the Lord, and I have found out that I can enjoy the new wine way, way much better than what I enjoyed the old.
Oh, yeah. The devil promises but doesn't deliver. And the Holy Spirit will never disappoint. But like you said, it's not a quickie relationship, if people don't mind me using that phrase. I think it communicates, though. If you're just going to ask somebody out on a date and you want to know if they don't mind if it's just 10 minutes or less, you're not going to get that date, are you?
Right. Very good point. Okay, number 17, revelings. Excessive feasting, revelry, a party spirit involving alcohol, drugs, sex, or the like. So revelings could actually include big feast, overeating, overindulging yourself in alcohol or drugs, any of the things of this like. So that covers the works of the flesh. Now, I want us to quickly just go through the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And number one is love, agape in the Greek, a caring and seeking for the highest good of another person without motive for personal gain. Now, remember, I mentioned practicing. You cannot become good at anything without practicing it. Even though the Holy Spirit is the one that causes the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts, we still have to practice it. So love, caring and seeking for the highest good of another person without motive or personal gain. I personally see individuals that, when I see an individual that is just, they are sold out to God, I have a deep love for that person. Not a lustful love or anything like that, or lust isn't a love, but not a fleshly thing, but I have a desire to see that person excel, and because they have yielded their heart to the Spirit of God,
amen,
I really want to do whatever I can to see them promoted. And just a little thing I'll throw in here, a mentor should always desire his mentee or her mentee to excel them.
Amen.
I should want anybody that I pastor, it should be my desire that they excel me in the ministry. It was Jesus' desire that all of his followers excel him.
That's number one.
I do, yeah. He said, the very things that I do, you'll do, and even greater things than this. So that should be our goal. We should try to pour everything we have into those people and then bring them into the new as well.
And I would say if somebody is your mentor and they have a problem when you do well, and they're, now some people think their mentor's holding them back when actually they're just not ready. But what Rocky's talking about tonight, you know, if they just have a problem of jealousy or something when you do well, fearful that you'll do better than them, ask God a lot, you know, if you need a new mentor, because
exactly.
Making disciples is all about believing Christ is going to do greater works through them. And they, if they haven't caught that vision themselves, that is good, you know, pray for them.
Amen. Amen. Number two, joy, chara in the Greek. The feeling of gladness based on the love, grace, blessing, promises, and nearness of God that belong to those who believe in Christ. So joy is not based on whether you get a new car, whether you get a raise, whether you find a Boaz. That's not what a joy is. I mean, now a Boaz can bring joy, but because a Boaz is of God. But I'm saying materialistic things can only bring you short-term happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It will never be long-term happiness. But joy, on the other hand, we say the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away, because joy is from within.
Right.
And it's based on the love and the grace and the blessings and the promises and just that nearness of God that belong to those who believe in Christ.
And I would exhort people to fight to keep their joy. Now, by fight, I don't mean fight people, but be determined to keep your joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, but also you can have joy in the midst of suffering and persecution, but also in the midst of aggravation and frustration. And if you're the type of person that loses your joy almost every day just due to everyday aggravations and frustrations, ask God for the revelation, because these fruit of the Spirit don't disappear in circumstances. That's when they really shine. That's when the Holy Spirit really wants to shine through us in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Exactly. Exactly. And Isaiah 12 actually tells us that with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. And so if you've lost your joy, you've lost your ability to reach down in to the wells of the Spirit, that living water, and pull up whatever it is you have need of. So something may have happened that caused you to lose your joy. Many times, if you'll just trace it back, you can go back to that place. If it's someone that offended you, whatever, make things right and get your joy restored.
Amen.
Number three is peace. The quietness of heart and mind based on the knowledge that all is well between the believer and his or her heavenly Father. We think of the 23rd Psalm many times. The Bible tells us that he prepares a place for us, a table for us in the midst of our enemies. In other words, he literally brings out a banqueting table when the battle is raging, when the bullets are flying. He has the ability to bring such peace in the midst of that, that it's just like sitting down at the table to eat when everything is raging around you. And it blows the minds of people because they don't understand. How can you be so calm when everything is so chaotic around you? It's because you have the peace of God. The Prince of Peace lives in you. Number four, long-suffering. Long-suffering is endurance, and this is something that I think all of us probably need to take a good look at.
Mm-hmm.
Long-suffering is endurance, patience, being slow to anger or despair. And long-suffering just means to be willing to suffer for a long time if you need to. I can tell you that I was just a demonized individual before I got saved. And a man that I worked for, that man literally loved me into the kingdom.
Mm.
He suffered. I wrecked two of his vehicles. His insurance company told him, I want you to get that, sign this paper saying you'll never let him behind the wheel of your vehicles again. And this man actually, he said, I'm going to go out and buy you a truck and put it in your name. That way you can still work for me. I mean, it was all because he was a Christian. And I recently, that's been years ago, and I recently, a couple years ago, went and visited him, and I told him, I said, I want you to know, it may not have seemed like it was having an effect on me, because I was drinking and smoking and partying and doing everything and wrecking your vehicles and staying gone a week at a time, but your long-suffering is what really brought me out of that situation. And it was really neat. He just cried. He's in his 70s now, and he just cried. He said, I would get so angry at you and want to give up on you, but the Lord just wouldn't let me. And so I'm a member of the body of Christ today because of someone who suffered very long with me.
Okay.
And he put my soul over his material blessings. And that's what it means is, you know, you need to seek God in those things, or there is a time to let go. Number five, gentleness. Not wanting to hurt someone or give him or her pain. So as we walk, we don't set out to hurt anyone. Will we hurt people? Yes, we will. But it's not our intention. We don't set out to do that. And it's important for us to guard against those things, yield to the spirit of gentleness. Number six, goodness. Goodness is zeal for truth and righteousness and a hatred for evil. So when we look at the fruit of goodness, we could say an individual who hates the sin of abortion, who hates the sin of killing those newborn babies, that is a goodness. That when we talk about the fruit of goodness, and you hate, you don't hate the people, but you hate that spirit that's behind it. You hate the actions of those people, but you still have to love the people. And so it's a zeal for truth and righteousness. Now, the people, the doctors who are doing this stuff, who could care less, you don't go around and just keep loving on them. There is a measure of love that you extend to them. I don't mean to sound like I'm contradicting what I just said about long-suffering. Let me say it this way. Those that do not know Christ, yes, you're supposed to be a loving example toward them. But those that claim to be a Christian and are okay with these things, then you need to do some rebuking with those and express that this thing is evil and it needs to be dealt with. So goodness, it can be expressed in acts of kindness or in rebuking and correcting evil. Any input on your part there, Carlotta?
It's strange. I'm not quite sure how to word it. If I make it short, it won't. I can't tell the story, though. I knew a woman who God called to cry over the abortions, and she would do it in front of the doctor who is performing the abortions every day, and he saw her shed tears over it every day.
Wow.
And that was a ministry of showing, you know, God's heart about it. I don't know if she did any condemning or not, but I thought, boy, that's a unique calling. Mm-hmm. She went and shed God's tears in front of his face every day.
Exactly. Okay, number seven, faith. Faith is faithfulness, firm and unswerving loyalty, and adherence to a person to whom one is united by promise, commitment, trustworthiness, and honesty. So actually, in the body of Christ, we all ought to be faithful to one another. firm and unswerving loyalty toward one another, and looking out for one another, because we are our brother's keepers. Number eight, meekness. Meekness is restraint coupled with strength and courage. It describes a person who can be angry when anger is needed, and a person who can be humbly submissive when submission is needed. Now, we see this in Jesus over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Be the most humble person, or he could be angry and make a whip and drive the money changers out of the temple, those who bought and sold. So meekness is a fruit, and I'm going to touch on all this in just a moment. I won't go there right now. Number nine, temperance. Temperance is having control or mastery over one's own desires and passions, including faithfulness to one's marriage vows, also purity and chastity. So temperance, again, having control or mastery over your own desires. So when we sit down to eat, we need to have this fruit of temperance. Whatever we do, we need to have that fruit of temperance. Even if it's ministering, you don't want to get up and preach for hours and hours, because you'll lose the people. I remember a pastor saying long ago, just give them enough to feed them. You know, otherwise they're going to go to sleep on you. And so temperance is that ability to not be driven by your desires, but control those desires. You know, I love sweets, cheesecakes, things of that nature, chocolates. And so I have to control that. Otherwise, it will begin to show up in my flesh quickly. So
no pun intended. No pun intended.
Exactly. And then, when Paul was talking about the fruit of the Spirit, his final comment on the subject was that there are no laws against this. There's no laws against these. When you have these fruits living and active in your life, there's no law against them. So a couple things I want to touch on quickly. The fruit of the Spirit is the very expression of Christ's nature that's seen in you and I.
Mm.
By others. I'm going to say it again. The fruit of the Spirit is the very expression, our nature of Christ, seen in you and I by others. Not in, say, seen by yourself, because, you know, we always see ourselves looking good. But what do others see? So sometimes you need to have a close friend. You can just say, hey, tell me what you see. Tell me, do you see fruit lacking in my life? Sit down and go over the list with them and say, do you see any of these things lacking? Because the truth of the matter is, the fruit is your identification that you're a Christian. It's not the gifts. It's not how long you've been in church. It's not who you know. When Jesus is looking at us, when he's down here scanning for his sheep, he's looking for a character, not an action, but a character. He's coming back for those. He is coming back for those who possess his nature. It doesn't matter if you operate in all these gifts. You know, the scripture in Matthew 7 actually says, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They're going to say, we prophesied. We operated in the gifts of the Spirit. All these things. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. His identifying mark was not upon them. So in order for fruit to grow in your life, there's one vital thing that Paul tells us that we must do. And he said, if you would be led by the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. So the real key is walking in the Spirit.
Amen. Focus on that.
What was it?
Focusing on that.
Yes, yes. So it's many times we find that people are making strenuous efforts not to carry out the desires of the flesh. They're hoping that somehow, if they're even if they're able to succeed at some point, that they can deal with all these fleshly issues and then walk in the Spirit. But that's just the opposite of what Paul said in Galatians 5. Paul said, you know, he tells us that our problem is that we have only a vague ideal of what it really means to walk in the Spirit. And I don't know that we have a lot of time to go into this. But
that's another program.
Exactly. But I want you to know that just a few things that I'll tell you that you can do. Number one, stay in the Word. When I was born again, I lived in a camper trailer for a while. And in my restroom, where if I was standing at the mirror, I had scriptures on the mirror. If I was sitting on the toilet, there were scriptures there. When I went to bed at night, I had scriptures on my ceiling. If I got in my car, I'd have scriptures on my dash. Wherever I was at, I had the Word constantly before me, because the scripture says, tie these things about you. Put them up on your forehead. You've got to have the Word constantly there. The other thing that I would do is spend time in worship. I would put on some deep worship and just get caught up in the Spirit, because I'm telling you, if you get in water, dirty things will come off. And that's exactly what Paul was saying. If you will get up in the Spirit, these things of the flesh will begin to fall off. But what happens is we fail to get in that place. We fail to be led by the Spirit. We fail to walk in the Spirit. Therefore, the works of the flesh grow on us, and they begin to choke out the very fruit of our lives.
That's right.
And so you cannot make the fruit grow. The Spirit of God in you, remember, He's divine, we're the branches. It's the sap that's in Him, it's the life that's in Him that's going to produce the fruit on our lives. But we can examine ourselves and say, hey, is there any fruit here? Or am I full of a bunch of fleshly things? And if we see that we're full of a bunch of fleshly things, like I said earlier, look at those things that you see in your life and repent.
Okay,
go
before
God. Go ahead.
Let me lead them in a prayer to do that.
Yes.
Do that, because it's almost, it's pushing, it's going to be 10 o'clock here before you know. So let me lead them in a prayer here. For those of you that feel convicted by the Holy Spirit, we don't want to just make you aware of it, you know, and then leave you hanging. Pastor Rocky's absolutely right that we need to focus on the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. But you might say, well, I need to repent first. I want to point you to the Crosswalk Prayer on our website, crosswalklife.com. That's crosswalklife.com. And if you go down the left side menu, at least halfway, you'll see Crosswalk Prayer. You can find it later if you want to. But I'm going to lead you in part of that prayer right now. And so if you've identified some ongoing, you know, pattern of flesh in your life, you can plug it into this prayer and pray along with me and just plug in your own pattern in the blank and say, Lord, I have a negative pattern or a fleshly pattern in my life or a bondage. It's not godly and I can't get rid of it by myself. I know that a bad fruit has a bad root. I don't want this pattern of. And here's some questions, Lord. Did I sow it and now I'm reaping it? Did I dishonor my parents and now I have the same problem? Did I dishonor authorities? Now I've got it. Did I judge someone and condemn them and now I'm reaping that? Did I have a bitter root expectation and, you know, of other people, you know, judging them? Oh, they'll always be hateful and now I'm hateful too. And Lord, I recognize that this pattern, this fleshly pattern in my life, that wasn't just in their life, maybe a role model or a family member or a coach or a teacher, is now a pattern in my life. And I'm reaping similar things and affecting other people. So, Lord, I repent tonight. I confess my sin of this fleshly pattern. I repent and confess my sin of not forgiving the other people right away, for judging and condemning others, for sowing it myself, having the sinful reactions myself. I repent for blaming or doubting you, God, that you shouldn't have even let those folks in my life. And I ask forgiveness for not forgiving myself sooner and letting this affect me and others so long. So I renounce all these sins, Lord. Release me from reaping this crop that I've sown and from living this lifestyle in a fleshly pattern. I reckon my flesh dead on the cross and ask you, Jesus, to bring it to death because I can't do it myself. And I ask you to resurrect your likeness in its place, restore all the years the locusts have eaten, and I reclaim all the spiritual blessings that I and my family and friends have lost because of this fleshly pattern. And I ask you to reward us for generations to come as we walk in your true discernment and grace and mercy instead of the flesh. Thank you, Lord. And if you have a bunch of things that fall under the flesh, like we've talked about tonight, look up the Crosswalk Prayer on crosswalklife.com, and you can plug those into this prayer too, or you can email me if you need help. I want to encourage those of you that want to call in, this is the time to call, 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. If you've never received a personal prophetic ministry on this program before, you can push number 1, and that'll put you in the queue first to receive ministry that will be beginning in just a minute. I want to thank you, Pastor Rocky. That was excellent.
Thank you. And, Carlotta, I don't know if you usually tell the people, but don't give us a lot of information about anything, because sometimes I might ask you a question, just answer to the point. Don't go in a bunch of detail, because sometimes I'll hear something in the spirit, so I'll ask you a question, and it's like that kind of opens the door. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. And so many times somebody will say something and the Holy Spirit had already spoken, and so then it's like, oh, well, you knew that, you know. So try to answer the questions as shallow as you can so that we can get
Spirit. Very simple. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've got a couple callers. I hope you heard the teaching. If you are coming in late, you can always go to the archives. The archives is posted within 30 minutes after the program, and they're good about doing that. I've checked up on them. You can go to the archives anytime, and we've got a couple years of the program in archives. We've been on the air since 2005, but only on Blog Talk Radio a couple years. Okay, are we ready to transition into personal ministry?
Yes.
Okay. Area code 361. Welcome to the Area code 323. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Is that me?
Yes. What is your name, please?
My name is Lee.
Lee. And
yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
All right. I bet our weather was as nice as yours today. It was nice and cool.
Oh, yes, it was walking weather.
It was great.
Yes.
Can we offer you prophetic ministry tonight?
Yes, please. I found your program just last week, and I've listened just a couple of hours, and I came in late today. But I will go back to the archives to review what was said.
Okay. We usually have teaching for about 30 minutes and then move on into ministry. And we're just so glad you joined us. Have you ever received prophetic ministry before?
It's been a while.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord says, I'm bringing people into your lives that will be kind of like spokes on a wheel. And I'm not trying to say that you're the hub or it's all about you or you're the center, but you're going to see in a good way that I'm just bringing people in, and it's going to bring some things together in that spokes and a wheel come together. And you're going to see that while the Lord says, I want to teach you many things, cause you to have many experiences, many connections with people. You'll be experiencing the gifts of the Spirit in new ways that are beyond what you've had a faith level for, but the Lord says, take the lid off, because I am the Holy Spirit, and I can do them all. And don't let people say, well, what is your gift? Or because, say, I have the Holy Spirit, and he has them all. And the Lord says, as you release me to, it's going to be, as you look back on it, you'll see it was like as many as the spokes on a wheel. And as you allow me to turn your life this way and that way, it's kind of a whole thing's like a bicycle analogy here, I'm going to bring in such a variety of experiences in your life. And the Lord says, I'm working a new flexibility in you, because while you've been a daughter that I can be proud of, and you've been ready to say, yes, Lord, most of the time, the Lord says, I'm working a new flexibility in you, because any time that the devil tries to put in a mindset, surely God wouldn't do it that way through me or have me do that, be sure to check with me every time, because I'm just doing a new flexibility. And the Lord says, you know, they wouldn't have thought that putting mud on a blind man's eyes was a good idea. And especially the next time I put blood on a guy's eyes that could, or on a guy that could see what I was doing. And so you definitely wouldn't want to try that. But the Bible is just full of areas where I've asked people to be more flexible than they anticipated. And Lee, I just want to direct you toward it's an audio teaching on nowfaith.tv, our other big website.
Okay.
And it's called Surely God Wouldn't Do That.
Okay.
Because the Christian life becomes a lot of fun when you quit saying, surely God, you wouldn't do that.
Okay. I will look that up after I get off the phone.
A lot of people want to be leaders, and they want to be the first. They want to be the trailblazer, or any number of aspirations. Now, most people don't. Most people don't want change. But as you grow in Christ, a lot of times you want to be the one. You know, God, if you're going to do it through anybody, do it through me. On the other hand, sometimes it's something you've never heard of. And the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus Christ is the creator, so he's always got new ideas. Oh, I almost forgot Rocky's here. Let's see what Rocky has for you, Lee.
Do you have any kind of medical problems, Lee?
Yes, I do. Hypertension.
Don't tell him.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's
all right.
He just likes yes or no.
Okay, yes.
This is what I heard. I saw a river, and you were a distance from the river. It was a beautiful flowing river, and the Lord said, the closer you get to that river, the more quickly and deeply the healing will become.
Okay.
So we know the Spirit of God is that river, and so he's just calling you into a close and intimate place. It's a beautiful place. You don't have to try to deal with it through pharmaceuticals. It's, as a matter of fact, it's already a done deal. It's just a matter of realigning, repositioning.
Yes. Okay. That's my desire.
Amen. Well, I hope that you'll write us at some point and let us know the testimony of what God does. I'd like to give everybody the email address.
Okay.
It's CWT, that would stand for Crosswalk Talk.
Uh-huh.
So that's CWT@CWL, that stands for Crosswalk Life, and then INC.com. So the whole thing stands for Crosswalk Talk at CrosswalkLifeInc.com. CWT@CWLINC.com. Thank you. Well, we've enjoyed meeting you and hope to hear from you again.
Amen. Thank you again.
Good night.
Bless you.
Okay. Area code 952. Welcome to the program. Area code 952.
Thank you. My name is Julia, and I have received personal ministry before.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll put you on hold. Oh,
okay.
No. Let's see. Now, if anybody, I've got a lot of callers, but not many have pushed one. Has anybody else not received ministry before And I need you to push 1 right now, or else I will go ahead with Julia. Okay, Julia?
Yes?
We'll just go right ahead here. I do remember, because my daughter's name is Julia, but I don't remember what we prophesied. So it's all about what God wants to do tonight. Hallelujah. Let's see who God wants to speak to you first.
Julia, I see you've got a big heart. You've got a heart for kids. There's ministry inside of you. You have a great love. A great love for children. There's a burden upon your heart. And as you, even though it's just a few that you have now, as you begin to tend to those few, the Lord is going to begin to bring more. I even see you at some point caring for like an orphanage or a group of a larger group of children, maybe orphans, maybe homeless, maybe family members, I don't know. But I just see you around kids, that there's a heart and a ministry for, it's really just love. You just know how to love them back to health.
And I hear the Lord saying, Julia, that I want to expand in the area of prophetic demonstration through you. I just see you employing things like objects, like little flags, or walking out things, how do I say this, by using objects and by using them as letting them as a group act things out and do prophetic demonstrations. For instance, if we're going to, kind of like the old football cheer, hold that line, that you could give them all a rope and they can make declarations that we're going to hold the line and not give in to the stronghold of this or that or the other. Or they can begin to march as a team or as a troop in warfare, and maybe only sticks they're carrying and not real swords, but you know, just begin to teach others what prophetic demonstration is, because even though it may seem like child's play to some people, the Lord says, I want people to walk out, not just talk out, to walk out what I'm telling them and to teach others. And all through the Bible, you've seen where I've had my prophets walk it out, demonstrate, show them, not just tell them. And the Lord says, I'm just putting in you just a new creativity in this area, new ideas and fresh ideas that will really communicate. And the Lord says, I just am calling you to really be a signpost of demonstration of my power.
Amen.
Julia, did you call in 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a week ago.
Okay. Did I pray for you before?
I did.
No.
No?
It was, yeah, okay. It was Coletta.
Okay, okay. Did any of the words minister bear witness with you?
Amen. I am just amazed.
Well, we thank you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
I hope you'll invite some friends to call in.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Send us testimonies. It's not that we want the glory. It's if you'll send it, please write a testimony in a way that we can assume we have permission to share it. In other words, don't involve other people's names. You know, don't expose somebody else's problem. Just talk about yourself. You know, if the Lord prophesied to you that you're going to have a new long-suffering or something, don't describe what people do that irritates you. Just describe how faithful the Holy Spirit is to do that through you, something like that. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. Yep. All right. Area code 727. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan from Florida.
Oh, Jan from Florida.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay. I'm so tempted to tease you, but I won't.
Go ahead.
Oh, me. I just feel like there's a word bursting out of you.
Yeah.
And I was just tempted to give you 30 seconds or so to share it. Did you have something?
Oh, well, not that I'm aware of yet.
Okay. All right.
But it's been coming out all day, so.
Has it?
Oh, yeah.
Has it? Maybe there's more there than you know. Thank you, Lord.
I feel the fire right now.
Thank you, Lord. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, I'm just putting that prophetic word in your mouth in new ways, more often, anywhere, anytime, with anybody, anyhow. And the Lord says, there are going to be times when I'm going to ask you to just prophesy, and there's no one to hear it. And you might say, well, that's just a declaration, but not exactly. The Lord says, I'm calling you to prophesy, you know, to buildings when you don't know who's in the building, to just all kinds of things. And you've stepped out in that to some degree. But the Lord says, when you just really let it go, like a flood in the area, when you just really let this go and begin to prophesy to almost everything, you're going to notice a new power, a new confidence, a new accuracy, a new confidence that you're, getting accurate words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And there's going to be such an increase in it because, you know, the more you exercise, things grow by the reason of use, Hebrews says. There's going to be such an increase in it that you're going to know that you know something that you've wanted to know, but you're going to know that you know that being prophetic isn't something you do. It's who you are. Rocky?
Well, I see, Jan, you've just been plowing and plowing and plowing. It's like that's what you do best is just plow, plow, plow. And the scripture says that the plowman will overtake the sower. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying it's just about at that point to where everything's going to break out. I don't know. You have to go look that scripture up. I didn't. I don't know the scripture reference, but as far as where the plowman overtakes the sower, is it the sower? Is that how it says it, Carlotta? The reaper.
I think
the
it
reaper.
Is.
The reaper.
Mm-hmm.
The plowman overtakes the reaper.
Yeah, you've got one crop coming in before you finish the last one.
Right, right. So it's like you've been plowing, 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 and now you're at that breaking point, and there's fixing to be just abundance. And, you know, it's been hard, and you really need to, like on a horse, we put the blinders on their eyes to keep them from looking to the right or to the left, to seeing the from seeing the cars that would scare them and things like that. And you just have to keep those blinders on.
Mm.
Stay focused, because you'd like to say, is anything really happening? Is this really accomplishing anything? Am I ever going to see the
right
breakthrough on. or the thing that I'm looking for? But you're right on the verge of it. So
mm-hmm.
Rejoice.
Woohoo!
Rejoice. Praise God. Thank you both. God bless you.
God bless you. Looking for those testimonies. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, Rocky, she's been sewing a lot. You were right on target, sewing without compensation. And God's been bringing her some surprises, and he's got even more. He's a wonderful God. We just thank you, Jesus. You know, when we sow into other people's vineyards and we give, and pour our lives out, God is not slack concerning his promises, and he never lets anybody sow but what they reap, even if it's more and it's later. Everybody reaps what they sow. Welcome, area code 918.
Hello.
Yes, what's your name, please?
This is LaDietra Carlotta.
Oh, You'd think I'd learn some of these telephone numbers, but I don't.
Well, it's been a while since I've called, so.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. It's like we ask you, then we tell you don't tell us.
Well, you know, sometimes we say we're good, and we're not really good at all. And you've been through some storms. You've been through some trials. Mm. And, you know, a lot of times, even in your case, you say, I'm good, but inside there's things that you would like to see change. And so you need to know not to be weary in well-doing, because you will reap in due season. There's just the turmoil. I see like turmoil. I see like thunderstorms and just things that would try to keep you away from peace, the things that would rob you of your peace, of your contentment. And you need to just really draw close to God at this time, because He is your peace, and He's not going to necessarily take you out of the storm, but He's going to go through the storm with you.
And more specifically, LaDietra, recently the enemy has been trying to declare victory. He's been trying to say, oh, this is the anniversary of when I won. This is the anniversary of when you lost. This is that. This is this. And he's been trying to present things in that light. But the Lord says no. No, no, no. And I just take my hands now as if we were together, and I just put them over your head, cutting off things. I just cut off the lies that would reframe these things and cause it to look like the devil was in control and that he won. And the Lord says the devil has never, ever, 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 in any case, ever been in control, and you will always win in me. And even though you experience loss sometimes, and even though things happen that it's hard to see how it works out for good right away, the Lord says, I'm putting great faith in your heart, great faith to know that my plans for you always work out for good, that the devil did not win, that these anniversaries are actually anniversaries of restoration. When I will restore the years the locusts have eaten, I will restore the rewards and the blessings that you lost. And the Lord says, you will thank me in the end. You will thank me in the end, because you will see my timing, my purposes have come together, and it would not have happened if it had not been for these bumps in the road and even some big losses. And the Lord says, I cried with you. I heard you when you said, why, God, why? And the Lord says, I am restoring. And tonight I'm giving you Mark 10, 30 and 31, where I promise you, everything that you've laid down for the kingdom's sake, you will get back 100-fold, and that is way more than 100 times. 100-fold is way more. It's a number too big. We don't have a word for it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm, that's an awesome word, yes.
Hold on to that.
Yes, I will. Mm.
Don't receive what the enemy says, where he says, well, I won that day. Uh-uh.
Yeah. I receive that word, yes. Thank you.
Lord says, I'll show you. Just stay tight with me. I will show you how I restore and restore and restore. And like they said in the Old Testament, you can cry out, restore, and hold me to it.
Yeah, and David had to slay his bear, and he had to slay his other opposition in his path in order to become strong enough to slay his giant.
Mm-hmm.
So everything he's been through has been a building. It's
mm-hmm.
not to tear you down. The enemy wants to use it to defeat you, to discourage you, to beat you down, but you just have to shake it off and say, you know what? I'm going over. I'm not going under. God doesn't take people under. He takes them over. And so, Father, I just release new strength
mm-hmm.
life, new hope into her, Lord, tonight. Release new strength, new life, and new hope of your spirit into her, Father, that she will know that this was not just to set her back, but it was to set her up for what you've got for her. So we thank you for it in Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I just release the comfort of the Holy Ghost on you all night long, LaDietra.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Could you relate to that?
Yeah. Yes, very much so. Very much
okay.
So.
My hand is patting the desk. I think it wants to pat you because I'm sitting here patting my desk.
Well, I receive your pat.
Be patted.
I receive that. Thank you so very much, both of you. Thank you. I receive that word. And I will hold on to the Mark 10, 30, 31.
Okay. Yeah. It's for everybody, but especially when you've when you're so conscious, it's so, you know, raw, running sores, bleeding of what you've laid down for the kingdom, and then you're reminded of it, to know that the devil does not win, that when you get back 100-fold, woo!
Mm.
Wow.
Amen. Mm.
Amen. Have
Amen.
A good night.
You too. Thank you, guys.
All right. We love you and God loves you.
Bless you both. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, God, you're good. You know, 100-fold is far more than I can imagine. I think a lot of times we just look at what we've laid down and don't even read a verse like that, thinking, oh, my goodness, how big is that? Whoa. Area code 818, welcome to the program.
Hello.
81. Yes, what's your name, please?
I'm Alina from California.
And what's your name?
Alina.
Alina. Very good. How are you tonight?
How are you?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry. How are you?
Well, I'm coming right along. For everybody that's been praying for my healing, it is happening. They keep praising my progress. I just wanted a creative miracle and for it all to happen yesterday. Let's see what the Lord's got for Alina. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Alina. We thank you, Father, for the healing, for the hurts and wounds and disappointments she's gone through. We thank you, Father, that for the move that you're about to do in her life. Thank you for the geographic relocation you have for her. I thank you, Father, that you provide for her, that you've got more than enough to meet every need for your riches and glory. And so I sense that there's been some hurts, there's been some abuse, and the Lord is bringing healing to those areas. I don't know the distance, but I see that there's a geographic move sometime in the near future, and has to do with new employment. And I just hear the Spirit of God saying that He has you, He's got you covered, He's got you everything that you have need of. He's already those needs, He's already taken care of. You don't need to worry, you don't need to fret. Give one minute of your time to trying to figure any of it out. Just be open. And when the Lord begins to open the doors, you just walk through them.
And the Lord says, I see the tears. I see the tears. And I capture them in a bottle. And I don't even let them touch the floor. And the Lord says, yeah, I know that, you know, sometimes you bring it on yourself, but I see your tears. And the Lord says, I'm going to allow some things to happen that will release you from pain. And I want you to just receive it. Just know that I'm the judge of all the earth, and I decide when enough is enough. and just receive it when I release you from the pain. And sometimes, you know, it was me, you know, that said, stay a little longer, believe a little bit longer. But the Lord says, I am releasing you. And trust me for the timing. And you'll know that it's me because it won't be something that you orchestrated or made happen. The Lord says, I have better plans for you even than you have for yourself. I certainly have better plans for you than they do. And I am going to use everything. Nothing will be wasted. None of your experiences will be wasted. And I don't want you to, you know, believe the devil when he says, oh, all that was a waste of time. Know that I am teaching and training and I'm healing and restoring you, that I have a passion to mold you and make you into the woman I've called you to be. And I am going to bring some people around you that will celebrate you instead of tolerate you. And I'm gradually changing your circumstances so that you will be more in a greenhouse where you can grow, because you've almost forgotten at times, you almost don't recognize yourself. And the Lord says, I have compassion for you, and I am going to bring you into a place where you can grow and you can thrive and you can know who you are in me, and you will know that Christ is in me, the hope of glory, and that He has a wonderful plan for my life, and that I am gifted and I'm called, and I am going to rise up and be everything He's called me to be. And no matter what anybody else chooses to do or say, it will not hinder God's calling in my life. Amen?
Amen.
You got a great love, a deep love for you. You have a deep love for the Lord, and that's why he's bringing you out of this, because He loves you.
Yeah. And you know, Pastor Rocky has no natural knowledge of that, you know, right?
Who has a deep love? I didn't.
Pastor Rocky has no natural knowledge of your geographical situation or a move or anything, right?
Yes, I know.
It's from the Lord.
Yes, thank you. But exactly what I needed. Holy Spirit said was exactly what I needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. You're wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I know that this time next year your reports are just going to be glowing, that you're going to say, oh, He delivers us out of all our distresses. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, Pastor Rocky, that's why it's good sometimes, you know, when I pause like that, when you go first, because then I know that, you know, some of these people I have talked to before, and then they can hear it from someone that they've, you know, never, ever talked to in their life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, area code 850. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And who is this?
Goldie.
Hello, Goldie. How are you tonight?
Very wonderful, Carlotta. How are you?
I am coming right along in God's plan and timing.
Amen. You are, you are.
I don't know why I didn't hit the button right. There it goes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Rocky, if you're getting anything, you can go first on this one, too. But if not.
Okay. And your name was Goldie?
It is.
Okay. Goldie, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying He wants to do a deeper work in you, that you love Him and you've got a measure of joy, but it's nothing in comparison to where He wants to take you. He really wants to, He wants to do this in everybody naturally, but I sense in you there is a depth that He's desiring to bring you into, a newness of in, in your walk with Him, there's things that, I mean, you're kind of like a happy-go-lucky person, but He wants to bring you into like a sound, immovable place to where it's no longer shallow, but it's deep and it's solid.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord says, Goldie, I've got you in summer school. Have you noticed?
And yeah.
In summer school, you have just as much course, but in a shorter period of time. It's concentrated. It's intense, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, you can drop out if you want to. You can even ask for a few days of respite if you want to. I'm flexible like that. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you to that place where you can walk in the Spirit whether other people do or not. And the only way you can really learn to abide in me like that is by going through it. When you're surrounded by people that might want to walk in the Spirit, but they don't really have a clue about it, and God calls you to walk in the Spirit anyway. And the Lord says, I'm just exercising you in all the gifts and everything, because the Lord says, you know, like I said in 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And so I'm also teaching you how to let go. Just really let go. Let go of the people you love and trust me with them and just enjoy them. And you might say, oh, easier said than done. But just enjoy them. Just set a goal that it's okay for me to enjoy them. I cannot fix them. And the Lord says, as you do that, you're going to just enter into a new place of rest. And a place where you have to be to survive in ministry, because you have to know what's your assignment and let go of the rest. And I mean really let go and trust me with it. Can you trust me?
Yes. Absolutely.
We'll soon know. We'll soon know.
Oh, praise God.
I wish I could minister
to
you. All right. I wish I could minister to you all in person. It's just hard to do this and not hug anybody, not even touch their shoulder or anything, but consider yourself hugged.
I consider myself hugged, and I'm hugged. You're hugged back.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That was such a great word. Thank you, both.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so he gets. It's kind of like a play, you know, where one person gets all the lines and the other just gets a few bit lines. The Lord says, you're just going to have a few bit lines. Just let go of the rest, that I will actually be able to do more, you know, as you just let go, I'll be able to do more. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'm learning. This morning told me I needed to lay it all on the altar, that I had to put my Isaac on the altar, that I didn't have the right to hold on to him. It wasn't my Isaac anyway, it was his.
Okay, and here's the catch, is, you know, whether God ever changes the other people or not, he has this awesome, awesome, unmeasurable love for you and is molding and making you into the minister. So actually his main goal isn't to fix them, it's to mold and make you.
Amen.
All right. Have a great night.
You too. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Let me move right along. Time's getting away from us here. Area code 239. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Good evening again, Carlotta and your guest, Pastor Raj. How are you guys?
We're okay. What's your name?
I'm sorry again. Sandy from Florida.
Sandy from Florida.
Yes,
I just need to go to Florida.
Oh, wow.
I need to go back to Florida, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah. Sandy from Florida. Okay. I try to write down the phone numbers and the names and everything else. Oh, the Lord says, I see you in the long run as a whole bouquet of a variety of flowers that I'm offering up to the body of Christ. And, you know, sometimes bouquets are given in times of sorrow, sometimes at funerals, sometimes at weddings, sometimes just to say I love you. sometimes to say I'm there for you. But sometimes bouquets need wiring. Sometimes they need thorns removed. Sometimes they need additives to increase their strength and to make them last longer. But the Lord says, I am carefully, meticulously preparing you to be that bouquet that's a variety for others. And the Lord says, I'm going to be asking you to expand. It'll be expanding your sphere of influence, but it'll be because you let me take you into other spheres of influence and have new experiences. And the Lord says, I want to give you more opportunities to step out in faith with words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and believe me for even more detail and accurate word, and to step out in faith in situations that are different. And so the Lord says, I'm going to cause you to be aware of some opportunities and also to receive some invitations to even be present if you're not the speaker or anything, just to be present, because the Lord says, as Elisha hung out with Elijah, as you press in for these various types of anointing, remember that I've promised them to you, okay?
Amen. And I see you, because of your desires, you want to see the Lord move miraculously, and sometimes you try to do these things behind closed doors. And it's like you want to practice behind closed doors before you really go out there in the big field and be seen. But I hear the Lord saying that if you'll step out in the big scene, if you'll do it in the street where everybody's watching, that's where it's going to take place. That's how it's going to break open.
Oh,
when
boy.
When you step out there, break off the timidity, break off all of that stuff that would hold you back or make you want to practice behind closed doors. The Lord says, step out there, put your hands to the plow, and I'll show up and do what I said I would do.
Thank you, Lord. Can you relate to that, Sandy?
I sure can.
All right.
And I hope bless you guys. That was a amazing, you know, just some little bits and pieces that you guys said. It just there's a bit of confirmation here and there, and just the little things that you mentioned, like I said, whether it be Elijah or something else you said, the flower. Oh my Lord! And just today, I was just reflecting back on a word that somebody mentioned many years ago, and was just wondering. I wonder what happened. Never happened. And then there's somebody was talking about Elijah, and I said to myself, I wonder whatever happens.
Well,
like years ago. Go ahead.
Press in. You know how to be that sweet fragrance. You just abide in him, spend more time with him in the morning. Just say, I'm holding on and I won't let go till the anointing just overflows all over me. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
And brother, thank you as well. I've been practicing on my own body. Pressing in for my
that's a thought.
Pressing in for my own healing instead of going.
Thank you.
And I've seen results. I think it started about a year ago when I got run into Carletta. And I'd sent an email back, and I think I said 09, but I meant June, you know, not the year. 09, but June 9th when I first met Carletta, around that time I was pressing for healing, and it's been continuing. So you guys are timely, on time, and man, when I grow up, I hope to be like you guys.
I'm still growing
thank
up.
You, Lord.
Okay, I'm going to let you go because we have a lot more callers.
Yes, just brother. Bye-bye now.
About 10 minutes to go. We're going to have to give some 1 minute words, Rocky. We're running out of time. We have a lot more people.
Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Area code 706. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta.
Yes.
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa from
Georgia.
All right. All right.
Welcome
Thank
back.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I appreciate that so much. just see the comfort of the Holy Spirit coming on you. Just a little reprieve, a respite, a time of comfort. I am so hesitant to say this because, you know, when I don't get it, what it's about, because I know that God's not saying he's treating you like a baby.
It would be okay with me if he did.
I'm going to have to be obedient here because I don't get it. But I see you, and the God is, what will you call that? Not suckling. But when you put a pacifier in a baby's mouth and they enjoy it just so much and they get so much comfort from that, it's like they can stop crying. They can just close their little eyes and go to sleep. They're all warm and fuzzy. And the Lord says, I know what will comfort you. And just believe me for it, that you will be as comfortable as that baby, and I know that brings a picture to your mind, is that baby is just a piece of plastic, but to them it's everything. It's enough. It's enough. And the Lord says, if as you just drink from me, this is a time of comforting for you. Rocky?
What's your name again?
Lisa.
Lisa. What do you do, Lisa?
I'm a medical auditor.
Medical auditor. When you first came on, I just saw like a lot of wire, just a fence, like a barbed wire or some kind of fence just wrapped around and around and around. And sometimes you just feel like you're entangled in things.
Mm-hmm.
They become a prison to you. And you have to, I hear the Lord saying that he wants you to give those things to him. Cast them to him. Cast that care over on him. it's neat how the Holy Spirit works, because many times he'll just give a picture or a map or whatever. But I just saw a fence, and it was like that fence was trying to tighten in on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just speak to the fence. Just say, no, you're not going to do this. I'm going to remain in my now moment with the Lord, because that's what the enemy tries to do. He's really trying to fit you out of a place instead of into a place. And so, if it makes any sense to you. But so don't let those outer distractions drive you away from the presence of the Lord. If you'll make it a point to draw near to the Lord, those things that seem like there's no way, they're crowding you in, they're choking you, all of those things, they'll begin to crumble. And also, there's desires that you have that the Lord is about to fulfill.
Okay.
It's just the secret to the whole thing is just get close to him right now. Those fences will fall. The desires will come. Everything will be good. He's going to make all things beautiful in his timing.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Oh, please let us know. We want to hear all about it.
Trust me, Carlotta, I will let you know. I'm so ready for some warm and fuzzy that I don't know what to do with myself.
All right. That pacifier in your mouth and go to sleep.
Amen. That's right. I'll let you know.
All right,
God
dear.
God bless you both.
Good night.
Good night.
Now, Rocky, we only have about 8 more minutes, and what we need to do is just prophesy 1 minute to each person.
Okay.
1 minute each. No counseling.
Okay.
He's the pastoral type, so you know that's his gifting, so you have to, like, explain it. Okay, area code 917, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon, good evening.
And your name?
It's Desiree.
Desiree.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh,
I want to give
Rocky first shot at this one. Go, Rocky.
Desiree, I just, the Lord is about to bless you with a car, with a new vehicle, there is things that you have need of, and things that you don't even know that you have need of, but many times God begins to do things, provide things, when we're not even aware that there's going to be a need. But so when the new car comes or the car shows up, don't feel like you don't need it. Don't say you don't need it, because you do need it.
Amen,
and
I do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Desiree, Lord says, you have great faith. You have great faith. You understand my authority. And it's your turn. It's your turn. It's your turn. And I'm going to, Lord says, I do want to strengthen your connections. And I do want to give you a real, you know, real opportunities, more real than it's been, to be mentored and to have those connections. And so don't put a cap on it in your mind.
Amen.
Let me do it. Okay?
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Area code 215, welcome to the program.
Oh, Carlotta, I don't have anything. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay, we can't minister to you tonight?
If you want to.
What's your name?
Elaine.
All right.
Excellent.
Elaine. Okay. The Lord says you've been taking those baby steps that I've been giving you, and that's all that I require. And even though it may seem like there's so many of them, like going up to the Lincoln Memorial or something, the Lord says, my desire is that you will desire me as you go, that you will trust me as you go, and as you just keep on taking each step, step by step, you're building more faith and confidence in me than you know. And that confidence in me is just really, really pleasing to me.
There's a rearrangement coming. I really see it in your house. I don't know if you need furniture, you're going to get furniture, but I see like a new setting, a new arrangement, like sectional love seat thing. So anyway, I don't know if that's speaking that you're actually getting, Lord's bringing you furniture, or if there's an arrangement in your home that he's bringing change to, but I just see that there's a change to the, a change is coming in your home.
I think it's home and work. Home and work. So be ready.
All right.
Okay, anybody else wants to receive ministry? We need you to push number one. We have just a few more minutes, and then we'll pray for all of you. Push number one. Let us know that you have called in. You'd like ministry. Because right now, I do see one. Okay, here's a couple. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this is somebody calling on a credit card or Skype or something, because it's all ones.
Yeah, my name is Gary.
Gary?
Yes.
Would you like ministry tonight?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord says, Gary, I want to give you a big tool bag. It'll have... We're hearing all kinds of background noise or something. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But.
It's clear now. Thank you.
Okay. The Lord says, I'm giving you a new tool bag with a really variety of tools, and I would like to just take you into a season of educating you about how I work through you, how I work in you, how I work in other people's lives. I just want to take you into that season where you know that I'm your tutor and that I am giving you specific training for specific qualifications, and you'll value it and just take it that seriously.
Amen.
Amen.
I just see that there's been some, I don't know what kind of background you have as far as biblical background, but the Lord is wanting to bring you a completely new mindset about Him. he wants to express himself to you in a whole new different way than you've ever known him. And so that's something that he's desiring to do right now in your life. There's old things, old patterns, old ways that are coming down, and you're going to experience the Lord in such a way. You're gonna find yourself talking to him like you do a person. Just it'll be so normal that you'll just talk to him going down the sidewalk. He's going to do such a transformation in your life, such a change in the mindset.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you relate to that, Gary?
Yes, I can. Yes, thank you. I just can. I'm just sitting here just thinking about it, but yes, I can. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, you get new
thank
tools.
Yes, I need them too. Thank you.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, maybe you can teach the rest of us more about it. Have a good night.
Okay. God bless you, you too.
God bless you. We praise you, Lord. You know what's on everybody's heart. You know what they've prayed. You know their desires. You know their needs. We just thank you, Lord. You're such a personal God. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. I'm Pastor Rocky. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Valerie from Maryland. Boy, there is static on the line, so I think what I'll do is mute you until we're done so that we don't hear that.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Just thank you for the work that you're doing in Valerie. We thank you, Father, that you know her heart. We thank you that you know her desires. Father, we just ask you to strengthen her in her spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Valerie, I the Lord is going to begin to give you vision, and that vision is going to take you to where you need to go, but you have to get before him. You have to... Many things drive people, but vision is what's going to drive you. Vision is what's going to take you to where you need to go. And so the Lord is going to speak to you in dreams and visions, and you need to get your journal, write those things down, because that is how he's going to move you from point A to point B, is through the visions and the dream.
Thank you, Lord. And Valerie, I hear that the Lord says, I have had a greater desire to make you my salt. I call you my little salt shaker. Make you my salt, then you, and you've been concerned about it. You know, will people see that as something that makes them thirsty when I put, because you hear me. You hear all these words that I'm giving you and insights that I'm giving you, and it's good that you want to know what to say and what to just pray and ponder about. But the Lord says, I'm giving you more freedom. I'm trusting you, and I'm giving you more liberty, and more often I'll be calling you to be that salt, because it will not only make people thirsty, even if they don't get it right at first. And you say, but Lord, it feels like I'm pouring salt in their wounds. And the Lord says, but if I ask you to do that, it will bring healing. It will bring healing. So I'm just increasing your trust in me tonight, because to be my salt shaker, when I say shake, you're going to have to shake. And trust me with the results. And that's the key tonight, to just trust me with the results.
Amen. Praise God. That was awesome.
That means I'm trusting you more, not less. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank Amen. You so much.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
You guys too. God bless you.
Bye.
All right. One more area code 517.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Denise from Michigan.
Denise from Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see what the Lord has for her. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says, I have such a strong desire to feed you, Denise. If you could just picture me not only as your groom, But setting a table before you each day. Just picture that. Hold on to that picture. Don't let it go. And I set it early in the day. And just picture that, you know, just as if a friend had cooked up a 7-course meal. Just picture that there are so many things that I want to feed you. And all I'm asking is that you meet me there, allow more time for it, because I just want to nurture your soul and spirit, to heal your heart. But there are so many good things I want to feed you, because I have called you to prepare and to make ready my people. And I need to give you, I want to give you more and more fresh bread and living water each day than you have thought.
Amen. And I don't know, I see you like an adventurer. I don't know if it's like you ask the Lord, Lord, how do I do this? How do I minister? How do I make these connections? And it's like, I see you out in a park in a tent camping, and you just begin to fellowship with the people around. Then you just express who you are. You don't have to go and say, I'm a Christian, but you just, through your life, your expression to those people. And so I see that God is going to use you a lot one-on-one, ministering to individuals, but that's going to open doors for other things. But I really just see you as I don't know, other than call you an adventurer, you're going to just adventure out and begin to connect with people and minister to people. So the Lord says, that's how you're going to do it. Maybe you'll just invite somebody over for dinner. Maybe you'll go camp out. Maybe you go hiking, but you're going to encounter people, and you're going to begin just to be an expression of Christ in their life. And because you carry that anointing, you're going to see tremendous results in the individual's life.
Woohoo!
I received that. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Can you picture yourself doing those things?
Yes, and it confirms a lot of things that I've suspected and that others have given me a word on.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Woohoo!
Thank you,
God.
Lord Jesus. Thank you very much.
You're so good, God. We just worship you. We praise you. We lift up your name. I think we can do one more. Area code 708. Area code 708. Well, you did push number one. Do you want ministry tonight, 708? Okay, well, we missed them. So sorry. All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for all the listeners, Pastor Rocky. There are a lot of people listening and will be listening in the future. And they might still be thinking, but I still haven't got victory over my flesh. Would you pray
Amen.
For him just a couple
yeah.
minutes?
Father, we just thank you tonight for the word that has gone out. We thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity to serve you as vessels of honor.
Yes.
We ask, Lord God, to take the words that went forth, breathe life upon them, fan the flames, Lord, that they would continue to work in individuals' lives. I ask you, Father, to take people into an in-depth relationship with the Spirit, so that they can know how to be free. Lord, that as they get in that river, Lord, these dirty fleshly things would just begin to wash off, and Lord, fruit would begin to produce in their lives. Father, for these that we minister to prophetically, Lord, we know that we know in part and we prophesy in part. And so we thank you, Father, for the bits and pieces that you give us. We thank you, Father, that as we minister by faith, that these giftings will increase even in our own lives. And, Father, for those that have a desire to minister prophetically or flow in the gifts, I just ask you to begin to stir that desire up in them
mm-hmm.
so they'll not be satisfied until they fulfill that desire, that goal. And we thank you, Lord. We speak blessings over everyone tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you will continue to do night and day, and that the Christian life is a mission possible. And when you said you died in Romans 6 so that we could, not only our old man, our old sinful nature could be dead, but we could be raised up in newness of life, and we would not live trying to please you in a way that we feel like we have to earn your acceptance, but we would know we are free from the law of sin, and we are free to be one with you, like in Romans 7:4, to be one with you and to bear fruit, good fruit, like we talked about tonight. Thank you so much, Lord. I thank you that it is possible, that even though you're the only one that can really live the Christian life, that you have said that you would live it through us. We thank you. I want to encourage everyone to go to the websites at crosswalklife.com, at nowfaith.tv, and look up these articles. You can use the search box at crosswalklife.com. If you click on schools at nowfaith.tv, you can choose between prophetic programs, or go on to the ministry archives. And we have made a way for you to go to a 4-year video and audio ministry training school and get the training you need. So don't say anymore, I don't know where to get fed, because you can get it all at nowfaith.tv, because God wants you trained. He wants you to be fulfilled, and He wants to live His life through you. Whoops, hit the wrong button. I put on the short one. Sometimes that happens. And with these, I can't just, start it over. It has to start from the beginning. So I guess we're supposed to say, we love you. We want you to join us on Now Faith TV, where we post encouraging nuggets every day. Just every day. Rockies are funnier, but we are there to encourage you in your walk. You'll find our email addresses there, how to contact us. And if you'd like to call our office, it's 724-206-0530, 724-206-0530, whether you'd like ministry or mentoring. And please continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And call a friend and join us again next week on more Crosswalk Talk. And now let's just worship together with Terry McAlmon, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
eyes upon you, Lord. You've already been here in such a beautiful way tonight. And I would ask, Lord, that you would cause all of our hearts to be one heart, all of these voices here tonight, to be one voice of praise and worship. We've come just to honor you. I know that your healing is going to flow as we worship you. Bodies are going to be touched. Minds are going to be